Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith produced by St. Malachy Catholic Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Our pastor is Father Joseph Gambala. Zach Murphy and Ursula Krauss are our technical wizards, and my name is Gordon Peck. Our program is about Jeremiah. We're looking at the prophetic books, the major prophets, and this is part two in the story of Jeremiah. But as in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, teach me the sacred art of attentive listening. Illuminate my understanding of the profound power that lies in not merely hearing with my ears, but also with the depths of my heart. Enable me to become a vessel for effective and compassionate communication, recognizing that the ability to listen and share your message of love is a divine and transformative gift. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, well, Jeremiah was a prophet. He reigned from the 13th year of King Josiah, which is around 626 BC, until the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of Solomon's temple in the year 587. We don't know the actual date of his death. His lifetime spanned the reigns of five kings, Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. And he uses the linguistic imagery of marriage and adultery quite frequently through his messages or his oracles to the people of Judah over the course of his lifetime. He's a contemporary of Ezekiel and Daniel. And if we look at a timeline, we see that Isaiah lived around 700 BC. 150 years later, we have Jeremiah. And this is the time when Assyria collapses, is conquered by Babylon, and Babylon is in its ascendancy, and Babylon will come and destroy Jerusalem. Daniel and Ezekiel are contemporaries of Jeremiah's. Okay, let's begin with Jeremiah chapter 18, the potter's vessel. This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there you will hear my word. I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at the wheel. Whenever the vessel of clay he was making turned out badly in his hands, he tried again, making another vessel of whatever sort he pleased. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do to you, house of Israel, as this potter has done, oracle of the Lord? Indeed, like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. At one moment I may decree concerning a nation or kingdom that I will uproot and tear down and destroy it. But if that nation against whom I have decreed turns from its evil, then I will have a change of heart regarding the evil which I have decreed. At another moment I may decree concerning a nation or kingdom that I will build up and plant it. But if that nation does what is evil in my eyes, refusing to obey my voice, then I will have a change of heart regarding the good with which I plan to bless it. And now tell this to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, look, I am fashioning evil against you and making a plan. Return all of you from your evil way. Reform your ways and your deeds. But they will say, no use. We will follow our own devices. Each one of us will behave according to the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Thus says the Lord, go buy a potter's earthenware flask. Take along some of the elders of the people and some of the priests, and go out toward the valley of Ben-Hinnom at the entrance of the potsherd gate, and there proclaim the words which I will speak to you. You shall say, listen to the word of the Lord, kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I am going to bring such evil upon this place that the ears of all who hear it will ring, all because they have forsaken me and profaned this place by burning incense to other gods, which neither they nor their ancestors knew, and because the kings of Judah have filled this place with innocent blood, building high places for Baal to burn their children in fire as offerings to Baal, something I never considered or said or commanded. Therefore, days are coming, oracle of the Lord, when this place will no longer be called Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the Valley of Slaughter. Well, when Jeremiah presents the word of the Lord to the priests and the people, they take great offense and they plan a retaliation against Jeremiah. Don't tell us what to do, Jeremiah. To make the point, Jeremiah leads the priests to a child sacrifice that is occurring in the Hinnom Valley, and there he shatters a flask in a symbol of what the Lord will do to Judah if they do not repent and amend their ways. Well, this child sacrifice is going on right there in the kingdom of Judah. The priests, the king, the royalty, anyone could stop these sacrifices, but they don't. In fact, sometimes they're participating in them. So the imagery is very clear. The logic is sound. The lesson should be easily understood. But the people of Judah seem too far gone to respond to the Lord's chosen ones. They don't recognize they will be the broken flask. Their hard hearts prevent it. And then we have the story about the priest Pashur. Now, the priest Pashur, son of Immer, chief officer of the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. So he struck the prophet and put him in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin and the house of the Lord. So here's a priest who reacts violently against what Jeremiah is saying. The next morning, after Pashur had released Jeremiah from the stocks, the prophet said to him, "Instead of Pashur, the Lord names you terror on every side. For thus says the Lord, indeed, I will hand you over to terror, you and all your friends. Your own eyes shall see them fall by the sword of their enemies. All Judah I will hand over to the power of the king of Babylon, who shall take them captive to Babylon or strike them down with the sword." So Jeremiah tells Pashur he will be exiled to Babylon, where he will die. And in the fourth year of King Jehoiakim, the Lord told Jeremiah to take a scroll and write down everything he heard from the Lord. So the scribe Baruch assists Jeremiah in this task. But because Jeremiah was forbidden from entering the temple by the king because of all his protests, Jeremiah can't go anywhere near them. So Baruch is asked to go and read these scrolls to the general public. Well, when the king's men heard this, they summoned Baruch and had him read them to him. And then they seized the scrolls and they took them to the king. And when the king heard them read from the scroll, he tore them sheet by sheet and tossed them into a fire. None of the king's men became alarmed or tore their clothing at these readings. So there's not a repentant heart in any of the priests or the king's men or anyone in Jerusalem. Well, immediately after this, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he was told to write another set of scrolls and put them into safekeeping. Jeremiah was still able to move freely about the city, but suddenly the Babylonians have surrounded the city. Their army has arrived, and there's no way out. And King Jehoiakim had died, and his son Jehoiachin is taken into exile by the Babylonians. They seize the city. The city surrenders, and King Nebuchadnezzar makes Zedekiah, who is a brother of King Jehoiachin, he makes him the king of Jerusalem, and he makes him an agent of the Babylonians, reporting to them as a vassal state. So in other words, he doesn't destroy everything in Jerusalem, but he makes it a puppet state that has to pay rent to the Babylonians. So Zedekiah is very distrusting of Jeremiah, and he allows many to persecute and abuse the prophet. So Jeremiah is in a very difficult and dangerous position. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has captured the city of Jerusalem. That occurred in 598. He's carried off King Jehoiachin, along with many others, into exile. And these also include Ezekiel and Daniel. We'll learn about that later. Judah was spared from complete destruction and became a vassal state. And Zedekiah is made the agent, and he will pay tribute to Babylon. And he does that somewhat faithfully for 12 years. Now we have the story of the good figs and the bad figs. Jeremiah stays behind in Jerusalem, and the Lord comes to him, showing him two baskets of figs. When I say he stays behind, some people are taken into exile to Babylon. Jeremiah is left in Jerusalem. So the Lord comes to him and shows him two baskets of figs. And the Lord asks Jeremiah what he sees. And he responds that there's a basket with very good figs and a basket of figs that are so bad they can't be eaten. And the Lord explains that the good figs are the remnant of Israel that is being sent into exile. And the bad figs represent those who remain, or who die, or who will die, of starvation or by the sword of the Babylonians. So the people of Judah have been divided. And here's what we read in chapter 24. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, I will also regard with favor Judah's exiles, whom I sent away from this place into the land of the Chaldeans. I will look after them for good and bring them back to this land, to build them up, not to tear them down, to plant them, not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. So God always has a plan, and God's revealing this to Jeremiah. But like the figs that are bad, so bad they cannot be eaten, yes, thus says the Lord, even so I will treat Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes, and the remnant of Jerusalem remaining in this land, and those who have settled in the land of Egypt. So we have the reproach of all nations. So the Lord tells Jeremiah that all the nations that surround Judah shall fall to the might of Babylon, one by one in due time. And all these nations shall be destroyed and remain captive for 70 years. But after this time, even Babylon shall be punished for her wickedness, and the city will become desolate, and nobody shall ever live there again. And there's a photograph of what part of Babylon looks like today, and that's partially restored by archaeologists, and there is no one that lives within the walls of Babylon. Saddam Hussein attempted to restore some of the temples that were there to make them into a tourist attraction, but that failed and has fallen away after his death. And no one lives within the walls of Babylon, even though there's a thriving city all around the outside. Here's what it looks like today. And these mounds that you see there, those are actually the clay bricks that centuries of rain have turned them to mud. And so the buildings, the temples have just turned into a soggy mess. And that's what Babylon looks like. And I don't know if you can see in the picture, but at the very extreme, you'll see buildings and houses. Those are beyond the ancient walls of Babylon. What was it within the city limits, the ancient city's limits, is totally desolate and abandoned. Okay, threatened with death. Now, the Lord told Jeremiah that Judah would not be spared from destruction if the people did not turn away from sin. And they grow angry now, and they call for Jeremiah's death, calling him traitorous. And Jeremiah tells them that they will add the sin of spilling innocent blood if they follow through. Well, a rift between the princes and the people in opposition to the priests spares Jeremiah. One man recalls the time that the prophet Micah declared that Jerusalem would be destroyed if King Hezekiah did not do the will of the Lord, and Hezekiah followed the Lord and the city was spared. So some people listen to that man, but others don't. So in any event, Jeremiah is released from captivity for a while. And King Zedekiah is put in place by Nebuchadnezzar, and he starts to listen to advisors who say, rebel against Babylon. You don't need to keep sending money to Nebuchadnezzar. He's way over there in Babylon. You don't need to do this anymore. So Zedekiah begins discussions with Egypt to try to gain military support in any upcoming battles. And Zedekiah also begins to listen to other prophets who do not speak for the Lord. Among these is a man named Hananiah, who comes from Gibeon, and he declares that Zedekiah would be successful if he revolts from Babylonian rule. He predicts freedom within 2 years. He's calling himself a prophet. And Jeremiah, a true prophet, predicts Hananiah's death that same year. Okay, the two yokes. That same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, Hananiah, the prophet of Azur from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in sight of the priests and all the people, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will restore to this place all the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took from this place and carried away to Babylon. And Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, I will bring back to this place, oracle of the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. But Jeremiah the prophet answered the prophet Hananiah in the sight of the priests and all the people standing in the house of the Lord and said, Amen. Thus may the Lord do. May the Lord fulfill your words that you have prophesied by bringing back the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles from Babylon to this place. But now listen to the word I am about to speak in your hearing and the hearing of all the people. In the past, the prophets who came before you and me prophesied war, disaster, and pestilence against many lands and mighty kingdoms. Isaiah was one of those prophets. But the prophet who prophesies peace is recognized as a prophet whom the Lord has truly sent only when his word comes to pass. Thereupon, Hananiah the prophet took the yoke bar from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke it. And he said in the sight of all the people, Thus says the Lord, like this, within 2 years I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. And at that, the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. And after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke bar off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, Go tell Hananiah this, thus says the Lord, by breaking a wooden yoke bar, you make an iron yoke. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, a yoke of iron I have placed on the necks of all these nations serving Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, even the wild animals I have given him. And Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, Listen to this, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have led this people to rely on deception. For this says the Lord, I am sending you from the face of the earth. This very year you shall die because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. And Hananiah the prophet died in that year in the 7th month. Well, King Zedekiah decides to withhold the tribute money to the Babylonians anyway, and soon King Nebuchadnezzar arrives before Jerusalem with a huge army. Wonder what he's going to do, huh? So Jeremiah proposes that all who submit to the Babylonians will live in exile, but all those who resist will be slain by the sword. And Zedekiah's guards and false prophets imprison Jeremiah. And then they decide to cast him down into a cistern, which is a well, and where he sinks down into the mud at the bottom. And only because an Ethiopian court official happened to be visiting did he protest this treatment, and was Jeremiah lifted out of the cistern. Well, King Zedekiah withheld the tribute, and soon Nebuchadnezzar is ready to act. The anticipated aid from Egypt never arrives, and in fact, the Babylonians, after withdrawing, because they anticipate an attack by Egypt, return to complete the conquest of Jerusalem. And all of Zedekiah's false prophets have failed him, and only Jeremiah told him the truth. So Zedekiah's attempts to escape don't work. He's captured, and all of his sons are killed before him, and then he is blinded and taken into exile. What a horrible end for Zedekiah. And the city then is dismantled and burned. The city is destroyed. Jeremiah chapter 30. This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Thus says the Lord of God of Israel, write down on a scroll all the words I have spoken to you. For indeed the days are coming, oracle of the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah. Oracle of the Lord, I will bring them back to the land which I gave to their ancestors, and they shall take possession of it. On that day, oracle of the Lord of hosts, I will break this yoke off your neck and snap your bonds. Strangers shall no longer enslave them. Instead, they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So the Lord promises the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. He said to David that a descendant of yours will live on the throne forever. And of course, we know that the one who fulfills that prophecy is indeed our Lord Jesus Christ. If we take a quick look at the house of David, we see that from King Solomon, we trace a lineage down to King Jehoiachin, who was taken into exile in Babylon. He does not return, but his sons come back, and they are actually ancestors to Joseph, the most chaste spouse of the Virgin Mary. Another son of David's, Nathan, is the ancestor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So both Mary and Joseph are of the house of David. So the Davidic covenant is fulfilled through Mary, through the ancestors, or the ancestors are descendants of David. The new covenant. See, days are coming, oracle of the Lord, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke my covenant, though I was their master, oracle of the Lord. When they came out of Egypt, they said, you will be our God, we will be our people. But they broke that. But in this new covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, oracle of the Lord, I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will no longer teach their friends and relatives, know the Lord. Everyone from the least to the greatest shall know me, oracle of the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and no longer remember their sin. So the Lord promises a new covenant is coming. The new covenant is coming in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a captain of the Babylonian bodyguard, Nebuzaradan, he released Jeremiah when the city was captured, when the city was destroyed. People were taken captive, and he releases Jeremiah when he finds him chained to a group of exiles. But Jeremiah chooses to stay with the people remaining near Jerusalem. And so he goes to Gedaliah, whom the king of Babylon has set over the cities of Judah. So here's the king of Babylon has now got another new agent. This is in place of Zedekiah. And this captain of the bodyguard recognizes who Jeremiah is, and he gives him food and gifts, and he lets him go. So Jeremiah goes to Gedaliah, and he dwells with them among the people left in the land. And among these people, there is a man named Johanan, who is a military leader of the defeated Judahites. So this is a guy who has escaped with a small group, and he tells Gedaliah, who is the ruler of the area now, that a man named Ishmael is out to assassinate him. And while Ishmael turns out to be an agent of the king of Amnon, who has no love for Babylon, and he's behind this plot. So we have a lot of intrigue going on. Johanan tells Gedaliah about the plot, but Gedaliah does not believe him, and he tells him to stop spreading such stories. Well, a few days later, Ishmael comes to Gedaliah, who invites him to dinner, but during dinner, Ishmael assassinates Gedaliah. So Nebuchadnezzar's vassal in Egypt is assassinated, and there is prompt revenge from Babylon upon the Judahites still in the land. So Johanan and all those who followed him come to Jeremiah, and they ask him to pray to the Lord and ascertain what they should do. So now they come to Jeremiah and ask his advice. Do they stay in the land of Judah, or do they escape to Egypt? Well, Jeremiah reveals that the Lord says to stay in Judah and worship the Lord. But Johanan had insolence to say to Jeremiah, "You lie! The Lord our God did not send you to tell us, do not go to Egypt to live there." So you have to ask yourselves, why did he bother to even ask Jeremiah? So Johanan and all who were with him, they defy the Lord, and they went to live in Egypt. And Jeremiah goes along with them because the Lord told him he would protect him wherever he went. And they settle in the city of Tapanhes, which is in the Delta region. In Jeremiah chapter 43, we read, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in that city. Take some large stones in your hand and set them in the mortar in the terrace at the entrance to the house of Pharaoh in this city while the Judahites watch. Then say to them, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I will send for my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He will place his throne upon these stones, which I, Jeremiah, have set up, and stretch his canopy above them. He shall come and strike the land of Egypt with death, those marked for death with exile, those marked for exile with the sword, and those marked with the sword, by the sword, with the sword. So he shall set fire to the temples of Egypt's gods, burn the gods, and carry them off. He shall pick the land of Egypt clean, as a shepherd picks lice off his cloak, and then depart victorious. Well, these are the fates of the nations. Baruch, Jeremiah's scribe, expresses great concern for their safety. But the Lord once again assures Jeremiah that he would be there to protect both men always. So then Jeremiah had a revelation of the fates of all the nations that Babylon had conquered. And each nation would be purged of their unbelieving, and all the people of Judah who were imprisoned in these nations would be set free. And finally, Jeremiah foretold of the destruction of Babylon, who had been the tool of the Lord in all these events. So Jeremiah is given a glimpse of what the outcome of the Lord's plan is. And these are the lands that he talks about, and you can read them in the later chapters of Jeremiah. He talks about Egypt, he talks about Edom, Moab, Ammon, Philistia, Judah, Aram, or Syria, and also Babylon. Now, he remained behind in Jerusalem for a while, but eventually he accompanies the group who chooses to go into exile in Egypt, and the details of his final days are very unclear. The book of Jeremiah became more influential after his death than his preachings had been beforehand. The exiled community in Babylon read and ruminated on the lessons of the prophet. Remember, the Lord said that those who had been exiled to Babylon were the remnant that he would choose to bring back to restore Jerusalem and restore the kingdom. And they took Jeremiah's writings and took them to heart and kept them dear to themselves. So Jeremiah's writings influence Ezekiel and Daniel and all of these exiles who returned from Jerusalem after 70 years' time. Here's the final passage in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 52. In the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, on the 25th day of the 12th month, evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the inaugural year of his reign, raised up Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and released him from prison. He's been in prison all this time. He's been released. You notice Nebuchadnezzar has died, and there's a new king in Babylon. He spoke kindly to him, and he gave him a throne higher than the thrones of the other kings who were with him in Babylon. Jehoiachin took off his prison garb and ate at the king's table as long as he lived. The allowance given him by the king of Babylon was a perpetual allowance in fixed daily amounts all the days of his life until the day of his death. So a remnant of the house of David survives and returns to the promised land. God's plan is that Jehoiachin and his sons would be the continuation of the seed of David, and they will return from exile back to Jerusalem and be there as a promise for the coming of the final son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what did we cover in this program? Well, Jeremiah was appointed by God to be the prophet to Judah in its most difficult time of apostasy. He was frequently persecuted. He was beaten, heckled, spit upon, jailed. He's even thrown into a cistern to sink into the mud and die, and he was only saved by the Ethiopian. Jeremiah weeps for his fellow Judahites. He explains there are two types of victims in Judah, those who will be carried off in exile and those who will remain to fight to the end. And Jeremiah stays behind and preaches to those who are destined to stay in the land of Judah. Yet even in this misery, the people choose to disobey God and go to the land of Egypt with their families. Why would they go to Egypt? Moses brought them out of Egypt. Well, the book of Jeremiah, the writings of a major prophet, are read and reflected upon more intensely and more sincerely by the returning exile than any other group in the lifetime of Jeremiah. So let us close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.